Almost Live from Nigel, it's time for this week's Hardman Newspapers podcast.
Hello, I'm Andy Dalrymple, and welcome to the first Hardman Newspapers podcast of the year, Almost Live from Nigel. This week, juices, school traffic, and the 2022 Commonwealth Games. To try and give you a taster of this, and some of the other news that has been hitting the headlines in our print titles, and of course online at iomtoday.co.im, I'm joined by Newshounds Jess Ward.
Hello.
And Sam Turton.
Hello.
Plus Distribution's very own Katie Kitchener.
Hello.
Welcome back, guys.
Yay.
Yay.
It's our first part of the year. You don't sound very excited about it. Katie looked very vacant there.
She's gone.
I'm gone, yeah. I've checked out.
Has it been a long week?
It's been a long day.
It's only... Well, 11:15.
I know.
Oh, dear. Jess, good week?
Yeah, it's been...
Good start to the year?
It's been pretty hectic because we're quite low on our reporters at the moment.
Yeah, Julie's away in Spain, and then Adrian and Jackie are in Orkney, is it? Or Shetland?
Shetland. They love it up there. Yeah. I'm a bit nervous they're going to relocate.
The one where Robert Carlyle used to have the little dog.
Hamish Macbeth.
That's the one.
What a programme that was. Is that on the Netflix?
I think it was, yeah. Oh. It's either on there, it's on Prime, it's on one or the other.
Oh, I'm going to look for that when I get home tonight. I'm very excited about
it. So, yeah. So we've been, like, keyboard crazy at the moment, trying to...
Keyboard crazy?
Yeah, trying to fill up those spaces.
Like... Is that what the kids call it these days? Keyboard crazy.
Oh, that's a Jess original.
Katie, good week?
A very, very busy week.
Yeah.
It's, we've had a price freeze offer on...
Price freeze!
Price freeze for Examiner and The Independent. Mm. £41.60 for 52 weeks. That's a 27% discount over the year.
And good stats, good knowledge.
The phone has been going crazy. Mm. And I've written out thousands of vouchers. Thousands and thousands of dates on vouchers.
That's why you're looking the way you are.
That's why
I kind of look dead inside.
A little bit mentally jaded.
Like the lights are on.
Bring your bag.
I'm looking forward to the new Manx feature later in the podcast then. Sam, good week?
Not too bad.
Not too bad? Solid 6, 7?
Yeah, probably.
Not enough planning stories for you this week to keep you ticking over?
Excuse me, there's been plenty. Plenty of planning stories, right?
I saw you getting quite excited by the developments next door on the with the diggers.
I can almost smell those herbs and spices.
I'm going to stop calling you Colonel Sanders. right, let's crack on then. We had our festive specials. They were out on Boxing Day and New Year's Day. I actually listened back for them for once, and they weren't as horrific as I thought they was going to be, considering
I thought it was pretty good.
How half cut most of you were during it.
That was a very drunken night of recording.
The second one, you were away with the fairies.
I think a lot of it was edited out.
many wines that night. But yes, we haven't done a pod since then, but we've still had some mail coming in, haven't we?
We've had two. One which we got just after New Year. Mm. And it's from someone who's been in touch with us before, and it's from New Zealand.
Wow.
Woohoo.
So I don't know if you remember back in the Barbie Gull days of 2019.
When we were peak bird.
Yeah. Mm. So we were very interested in people's pet birds or bird sightings. We had a message from a listener on Instagram called Panita, who's in New Zealand, and she had sent us a picture of her pet duck peeking.
Cool. Yeah, the best name.
Such a good name.
But she's sent us a postcard all the way from New Zealand, and she says, "Happy New Year, Jess, Sam, Katie, Andy, and the rest of your fab team. Sending you sunshine, warmth, and this teeny kiwi all the way from New Zealand. Have a great year and keep up the fun podcasts."
The New Zealand summers.
The girl with the duck.
Yeah,
and it's a little kiwi.
Oh, I love kiwis. They're
kiwi,
so cute.
It doesn't even look real, does it?
They're so adorable.
Mm. I've never seen one in the wild. I've only
seen one in like a
reserve
in Rotorua.
Rotorua.
They look
really
like
smelly.
It's very smelly.
An ineffective Pokemon.
To be honest, they look a bit like your beard
look
at the
like
moment.
A Pokemon.
Yeah.
The colouring's almost the same, isn't it, really?
They're incredible birds, because their eggs are like one third of their whole body.
Wowzers.
It's ridiculous.
So that must be like, a bit pushing that out.
Yeah,
must be,
that was a hard effort.
Yeah, do they do that every day?
No, it's not like a chicken.
Wow. But we also had another postcard from the other side of the world, didn't we?
This caused much confusion between me and Sam before you got involved with the chat. Because it did look, handwriting-wise and the words used were something Sam would say, but he has not been to Colonial Williamsburg recently.
I also don't have handwriting that neat.
Sam would go to Colonial Williamsburg, though, wouldn't you?
He definitely would. Yeah. But so we got this postcard from Colonial Williamsburg, mm-hmm. which is in Virginia. Mm-hmm. And it says, Colonial Williamsburg, Craig Nish on steroids. Have a good Christmas, team. Toots.
Toots, who is the legend that is Derek Tootle, who I played squash with.
Is he in the...
Racketeers, he is. He's in the Hall of Fame. Racketeers Hall of Fame.
See, it's that really. It's that Craig Nish on steroids does sound like the sort of thing I'd say.
Yeah. And you would, as I keep saying, you would go there.
It does look nice.
Maybe next time Toots goes, he could take you with you.
That would be nice.
Have a trip.
So thanks for sending them through, guys. If you want to get send a postcard in the future, what's our address?
It is Isle of Man Newspapers, Peel Road, Douglas, Isle of Man, IM1 5ED.
So please do keep sending them. They're
my one from Vienna's never arrived.
Yeah, I thought Austrian Post would be good.
I know, and I posted it at the airport.
Oh. My one from London's never turned up. Oh. Ooh, speaking of London, I got talking to a listener from London called Josh.
A listener from London?
Yeah.
An actual listener?
Yeah.
Someone you know?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Less impressive, isn't it?
But he likes the podcast, so I promised to give him a shout out.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there you go, Josh. Hopefully you made that.
That's for you.
Yeah, you've made your year. So it's going a bit bored of birthdays, this, isn't it?
Yeah.
what I was going to say, so before we move on from the... So, yeah, we've actually uncovered quite a worrying trend about the amount of post that goes missing, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Where does it go? It's like socks when you put them in the washing machine.
And it's from European countries, because obviously Sam's from London, mine from Austria,
yours from Portugal.
Yeah, we've got no problems getting them from the USA, from New Zealand.
Yeah. Right, we need to get the postal authorities of Europe to step up their game, don't we?
Brexit, mate.
Brexit is Brexit.
It's not our problem.
Yeah, Brexit means Brexit, doesn't it? Right, before we move on to the first news story of the week, of course, we were rocked by the news on, I think it broke on Thursday morning, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That one of our podcast favourites from last year, Kush, has gone AWOL again.
He has, yeah. Our little resident red panda from Currig's Wildlife Park. So the team found out early on Wednesday morning that he's escaped again. So he went missing in October, and it was for almost 3 weeks they couldn't find him.
Yeah.
Eventually he was found in somebody's garden up a tree. So the person who lived in the house, she got a phone call from the general manager of the park saying, "We think he's in your garden." And she looked out and she's like, "Well, that's something I didn't expect whatsoever." So now he's gone missing and they don't know why. They're trying to find out.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he just got a taste of freedom and he's like, "Do you know what? I want that again."
I think in hindsight, giving him some that tunnel digging equipment and a motorbike was a probably bad idea. Yeah.
Did he escape using the same method as before?
No, they've
trimmed back the trees.
Yeah. So I mean, there's an investigation being launched by the
CSI are up there. Seen a crime. They're doing fingerprints. I reckon it's an inside job. Someone's let them out.
Someone's been accepting bribes.
Yeah.
There's a theory that maybe he's hooked up with a wallaby or something.
A bit of crossbreeding. Yeah. Wowzers.
Have you seen the... There's a Facebook... person. He has his own Facebook page.
Oh, really? Who parody?
Yeah, he keeps tagging the wildlife book. So it's like, how much to let the missus out?
That's quite funny. Right, I've seen lots of memes, but yeah, Kush, so... But obviously the wildlife park have asked people to be vigilant in the area.
Yeah,
and
especially
slow
when,
down when driving.
Yeah, exactly. Because I mean, he's crossing roads and all sorts. I mean, he was last time, so you just don't know. Got to be careful.
They might have stuck a tracker on him or something last time. You know, like a GPS.
Well, there's a guy. He's a neighbour of the park, and he's got a fundraising page he started last time he went missing to find to get a drone with thermal imaging, so he can go and track around and see if he can find Kush that way.
So he's GoFundMing a drone with nocturnal vision.
And he says that it will be used for other like rescue operations in future.
Oh, I suppose.
For other animals. Escape from that.
Yeah,
but
enough.
I suppose a lot of dogs go missing. I mean, we had that Alsatian that went berserk, and I think it was from Onken, and it managed to go all the way up to Ramsey.
What?
Yeah.
That was last summer. Before.
Did it kill some sheep?
I don't think so.
I think we're worrying sheep.
I think we're crossing the streams here.
There were suspicions, but it wasn't really,
So I'm sure there'll be more on this Kush story in the Examiner this week, will there?
Yeah, we'll keep tabs on that.
Jess is our Kush correspondent, aren't you?
It's the police wanted post that I quite liked.
That was really good.
Right, our first news story of the week, Jess, is about Julie's Food and Farming Pages, which are a welcome addition to the Indie. I think it's they've just marked their first anniversary this week.
I think so, yeah. They've been doing really well. I mean, really good content.
So she's doing it's the time of year we all make these resolutions to go on a diet or do some more fitness or whatever. And juicing is a bit of a craze at the moment, isn't it?
It really is, yeah.
So Julie's actually on a juice cleanse at the moment. She's writing about it, isn't she?
Oh, she was. She actually did it already, and yeah. She kind of wrote about
it. Oh, do you only do it for a week, do you?
For this one, yeah. It was 3 days. But people do it for as long as they want. Mm. But yeah, so this was a piece about a woman called Bev Clegg. She is actually the one who runs the shed in Laxey with her husband. Yeah, I just found the story really interesting, how she kind of got into this business of, it's called Creative Juices in the Isle of Man. So she was actually a really high-flying executive for a large engineering/technology firm. And she said that because it was such a male-heavy environment, when she got really ill, she couldn't really talk about her health. And she actually ended up having a hysterectomy at the age of 44. And that led to an early surgical menopause, which... she couldn't function mentally, so her and her husband kind of thought about it a little bit more and said, right, this isn't working out. And she met a friend who introduced her to juicing, and that kind of made her feel inspired to set that up in the Isle of Man, because she said there was nothing like that in the island except for shop-bought stuff, which is just crammed with preservatives.
Additives and
yeah,
stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. So she's like, let's just do it myself. And yeah, now she employs 12 people, so it's grown loads. And so Julie took part in the 3-day cleanse, and it has like 500 milliliters of like different types of juices, which have like some people will be like put off by this, but it's got spinach, celery, cucumber, apples, carrots, kale, avocados, and there's also a wellness shot. Which has ginger and turmeric.
Me and producer Emma drink wellness shots every day.
Oh, do
to ward off the
evil.
What you
the
do
colony.
When you
evil
hear shots?
Yeah. Right, okay.
Are
they good?
Yeah. They burn a little. It's good.
On the way in and the way out.
What's the way in? Is it like exercise? When it really hurts, you know it's done some good.
There's one, because we buy them from a certain supermarket, but there's one which is like fire.
Oh gosh, like down on your throat.
You can't shot that one.
Oh gosh, yes, you sip it.
You definitely can't shot that one.
Try lightning.
So yeah, so Julie, she did it, and she said actually it helped her with her cold that she was suffering with at the start, and she lost 4 pounds.
Wow!
Whether that's due to the juice cleansing, I don't know, but I mean, that's impressive.
It's not to be sniffed at, that. 4 pounds.
In 3 days.
Yeah, 3 days, it's really good.
Were they a bit, did she bring them into work?
Yeah.
Were they a bit strong?
They were a little bit. You got to wait for them.
Right. Okay.
But do you guys have any New Year's resolutions you have?
I'm trying to do a bit more fitness.
Okay. What
I've
type
been out running 3 or 4 times this week.
Okay, that's good.
I'm struggling. I made a mistake going on Strava. That just depresses me.
It does, doesn't it?
Isn't it like, oh,
you
such as you are. 433 of the 434 have done it today. Oh,
it's
cheers.
So bad.
Cheers, mate. Thanks.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm trying to do that.
I'm about to write up a piece about a guy who's trying to do 5k a day.
Yeah, no, yeah. Ian Drake, who used to play football for Unimills and Corinthians, follow him on Twitter through the Manx 40 podcast feed, and I saw that, I mentioned it. Now, I've done about 9 miles this week, and on every other day, and I'm struggling, so the fact that he's doing it every 5K day, and he's doing more, like last night he did the Ramsey Fireman series, which is 5 miles, so he's not just doing 5k, he's doing longer runs as well.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
So it'd be interesting to see.
He's going to be like super fit by the end of the year.
Yeah.
He said that, because I just had a phone call, I haven't written the story up yet, but he said he's really nervous when it comes to his friend's stag do's, what he's going to do, like, is he going to get the guys out for a run, like, hanging... I don't know.
Yeah, fair play to him. If he can keep it going, that's something.
Yeah, it'd be really good. So that will probably be in the Examiner or the Independent.
So the juicing was all in the page 22 of this week's Manx Independent.
Yeah, 22 to 23. Yeah. There's another story, actually, I'll briefly go over, which I thought was quite interesting, in the Food and Farming pages. It's about a chef at Foraging Vintners.
Right.
And she, so it's Pippa Lovell, and she actually goes out and collects stuff that she finds. And
forages, quite literally.
Yeah, literally. So she actually won a regional award for the San Pellegrino Young Chef of the Year, and her dish is really cool. So it's called What She Found, and this is the description. It's Lucton lamb, smoked in gorse from the field it was grazing in. using water from the stream it was drinking from, served with a Laxi sourdough mini donut, glazed in Bushy's oyster stout and caramel using Bellefessen honey, and it was topped with pickled wild garlic and watercress from Fleshic and some other stuff.
So there's a lot going on there, isn't there?
Yeah.
When you say found, I have not found that many pre-cut pieces of Lockdon lying around the main countryside.
Well,
I have my suspicions about how she got hold of that.
Especially if it was cooked in the gorse from the field it had been grazing in.
Yes, it does sound suspicious, this,
it
doesn't
it? It does sound more arseny.
Arseny? I was thinking arson. I thought she just killed it.
Arseny?
That is a word for the dictionary.
Arseny.
Yeah, right, fair enough.
Again, from the lawyers, we're not suggesting she did commit arson.
Yeah. Right, moving on. Sam, now this is a story about Ballacomini High School and the sort of change, proposed changes to the way vehicles entered and exited the school, wasn't it?
Yeah, they had this plan which was going to turn the inside of the school into a one-way system, essentially, and they were going to move the entrance into the into balcony and round and all this, and it was going to create what they claimed, what the DOI claimed, was going to be an improvement to circumstance. However, as with DOI planning and road works in general, didn't exactly go very well.
Okay.
So you had 80 residents say it was a pretty bad idea and started pointing out things like they were going to be sending buses down narrow roads.
Yeah.
Not a good idea.
No.
And it ended up in front of the planners this past week, where it was referred to by the planning committee as a terrible idea, a piecemeal application, and a shocking waste of money.
Wow.
And
no punches pulled there.
No, not at all. And it's been quite an interesting one, really, because it's sort of like you're going, so this is the department in charge of the roads, and they come up with a plan that was that terrible, nobody supported it.
Wow.
Kind of like the promenade, really. But, so, yeah, I mean, I don't know. You walk down that way,
yeah.
You drive down that way, don't you? Down that, it's Catherine's Drive.
Yeah, yeah.
It is a bit of a nightmare.
Oh, it's really
tight, isn't it?
It surprised me, because you'd think they'd be trying to encourage less vehicles into the school. And I know that school have recently opened a couple of cycle lockers, which are, I think, they're essentially just a locker. You put your bike in, and it's got a shelter and stuff like that. And you'd think it'd be encouraging maybe more bus usage of those that live further away than that. But yeah, it is busy.
Well, apparently the biggest problem is the teachers.
Right, of course.
Because it's a big school, it's a big standing island, it's got a lot of teachers, and their car park isn't ideal because I never went to balcony, so I had to try and work it out, sort of
it's
thing.
It's tiny.
Looking at it. And it's literally, it's that strip up the side of the front
it
of the building.
Yeah.
And, you know, then they've done genius things there, like built the walkway that they were meant to be getting like the kids to walk down as footpath is a metre wide at the side of the rugby pitch there, which is then behind a fence.
Yeah.
And they were like, and the planning officer who went and did the site view was like, I was there 4 days. Never saw a kid walk down that footpath once. Yeah.
I wonder if they can do like underground parking. That's a bit radical, but
Uncle Bulgaria on the go.
I think you got tunnels on your brain after that story in the Times this week. I mean, we should probably mention that as well, shouldn't we? Which is an absolutely bizarre idea that I think has been mooted. That there should be a tunnel coming from the UK, sorry, from England to here, and then here to Northern Ireland, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's just. I think it probably ranks somewhere alongside putting a Victorian horse tramway in the middle of a 21st century road network.
So it appears Sam's New Year's resolution is just to bash the promenade scheme at every opportunity.
I've been doing that for the past year anyway, and I imagine I'll keep doing it for the next year and a bit. Actually, my thing was that along with producer Emma, I've given up smoking, haven't I? So,
oh.
She's doing it because she wanted to. I've done it because I, well, you know, needed a reason to.
Is it also drinking as well? Not just.
No, I considered that, but then people annoy me.
So he needs that.
So how have you found it? Not smoking.
All right, you know, I got one of them vape things, so I'm now a vapist.
Yeah, I did see you with that the other day, actually. I thought you were smoking a pen.
Vape kid.
Yeah.
Does it have nicotine in it?
Yeah, I've got like a low level one. It's got like 6 milligrams in it or whatever.
And what, are you going to move on to a flavour after that?
I've got a flavour. This one's strawberry.
Oh.
I've also got blackcurrant and cola. But I haven't tried them out yet because I got one that I had one before, and the problem was I couldn't use the coil things on them.
Right.
But this one's like you replace the whole top, and it's like actually cheaper than the coals were. So with that, I can just fill the liquid up with that and then do that.
And is it cheaper than smoking?
Well, yeah, considerably. Okay. I mean, I've spent 20 quid on that in the past. The pen thing was like 18 quid and then the liquid was like 3 quid. So I spent like £21 last week. And then I got the liquid things was 3 for £5. And a new pen top's like 4 quid. So say that's like... But no, like the pen top thing lasts like a week, right? So that's like 4 quid every week.
Yeah.
And then like a 5 a month as opposed to £26 a week.
Wow.
So...
Yeah, that's huge. And how are you feeling?
Well, I ended up on the vape because I don't know if you're aware of this. There was an incident involving the dishwasher in work.
What? How so is this connected?
Well, yeah.
after about 3 days of not smoking, I come in and the dishwasher had not been turned on. Because our cleaning only comes in 3 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
Dishwasher hadn't been turned on. The kitchen stank of stale food and coffee. And there was a sign that says, please, the dishes mm-hmm. sort of thing. And I snapped and put, it only works if you turn the F word on. And then somebody put, why didn't you turn it on then? And I replied back, I did.
Right.
And really lost it about this dishwasher.
Wow.
Do you not just wash your dishes by hand?
Well, this is the thing now. You see, I bring in a plastic tub and I eat out of that. And it's actually advertising who mostly use coffee because they use them decanter things, right? And everything inside was covered in coffee. And this is why I snapped.
This is clearly still trying to...
This is clearly also a conversation for off-air.
Off-air, yeah.
but
how does that connect with your vape?
Because... I only snapped about... Actually, we could probably cut that back in there. Yeah. So we all... ask me again.
How does the dishwasher situation affect your non-smoking?
Because after 3 days, I was quite antsy anyway, and then that pushed me over the edge. Wow. So I decided that, unlike the brave producer Emma, a cold turkey wasn't really for me. I mean, I like cold turkey, but not at this time of year. By this point, it shouldn't still be in the fridge.
Do you think you'll go off the vape eventually?
Yeah, I'm not
going to like those
fan of it.
Cigarette candies. You know,
The ones you used to get, the, like Everest sort of thing. And
I think
like
they
Coke.
Stopped producing them because it was encouraging kids to smoke. Jess,
yeah.
may fly in New Zealand, but no.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Sports story of the week is about shooting in archery. I know topics that thrill the three of you.
That greatly. Andrew is pretty cool.
So 2022 Commonwealth Games are in Birmingham, which I'm sure you're all aware.
Boo.
Why boo?
Because it was meant to be in Liverpool.
Oh, okay.
Well, it should have been. It was actually meant to be in Durban.
Yes,
it was. And they had taken off, and yeah. Liverpool and Birmingham said, we could host it. And then,
yeah, so it's going to Birmingham. Now, originally when it was announced, Birmingham said, we don't really have any shooting facilities here, so we're not going to have any shooting in the 2022 Commonwealth Games. Now, that was went down like a cup of cold sick with the Isle of Man Commonwealth Games Association because we usually do well in the shooting events.
Yeah, really.
You know,
Tim Neal.
won a bronze, I think, in the last event. That's clay shooters and rifle shooters tend to do well as well. So we're like, that's one of our medal chances out the window. But this week, there's been some breaking news. The International Shooting ISSF, I don't know what the second S is for, Federation, have met with the Commonwealth Games Association and had a meeting, and they've decided we're going to have some shooting event.
Oh, yes.
But it's going to be in India.
What?
So it will be run similar time.
Yeah.
And the medals will still count towards the overall Commonwealth Games.
I suppose it does make sense, because India has...
A big shooting thing,
and it had the Commonwealth Games in 2010?
Something around then. I can't remember.
I mean,
off the top of my head. But
the
idea
that Birmingham has nowhere you can go shooting is a bit stupid.
Well,
legally.
Different thing entirely.
Well, when the Commonwealth Games were in Manchester in 2006, I think.
No, before that.
2002. The shooting took place in Surrey, which is in Bisley.
Yeah. Why can't they do it in the UK?
And this was proposed again for the 2022, and Birmingham went, no, we don't want to take the people away from Birmingham. But now it seems that they're going to be in a different country entirely.
It's so weird.
But aside from the shooting, the archers might also get a chance now, because archery is going to be included in the competition in India.
Hold on, so they couldn't do archery in Birmingham?
Apparently not.
But all they need is a school field.
No, so when the archery was for the Olympic Games, was held at the Oval, if you remember correctly, at one of the cricket grounds.
Yeah, but all they need is a school field and a bit of a...
I remember on school trips at Annika Primary School, we would go to Kingswood Computer Centre in Birmingham, and we definitely did archery there.
See? In the computer centre?
It was one of those places where kids went for like a week, and you did kayaking and go-karting and archery.
Like Ardwallon?
Yes.
Yeah.
And some sort of making robots work from computers. I guess it was educational, slightly. Yeah.
Well, anyway, so that's where it is at the moment. The plans haven't really been confirmed yet, but that's what it's looking like. The Commonwealth Games Association, LMN, are saying that's great. We're going to try and make that work. So it's a pretty much watch this story develop sort of thing. Mm. But it's the full story as to where we are at the moment is on the back page of the Manx Independent this week. So please do seek that out if you're a shooter or an archer. Right, Sam, you've gone this week in history, the first one of the year. You've gone big, haven't you? Yeah.
This is brilliant. I mean, for the first time, we've actually gone into two pages. We've had to bring in another page because it was just too magnificent.
Yes.
So we've gone for the Isle of Man Daily Times and Woman's Magazine from Tuesday, January 10th, 1961.
Wow. Deep cut. So, yes, the front page is a thing of beauty, really. And we'll get Grace to put this on our socials later. But it's fantastic. You wouldn't even describe it as a front page, really, would you? It's just a bit of a mishmash.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a story... There's two separate stories about gardens.
Yes.
Mm.
Which is quite bizarre.
A lovely picture of Mr. W.H. Crennel, who was the Corporation Gardener at the Villa Marina, who's been awarded a long service medal for the Royal Horticultural Society for 40 years' service as a gardener. And he looks very happy there.
I absolutely love this photo, because he's donning his little cap.
Yeah.
Oh, and is that like a shovel?
Yeah, I think he's got a spade.
Spade, sorry.
He's got his foot on a spade, but you can't really see the spade, so it just looks like he's leg cocking slightly, doesn't it?
It does.
But just with sheer excitement of being on the front page of the Isle of Man Daily Times and Woman's Magazine that week. But there's also, as you say, it's a gardening extravaganza.
Yeah, with Mr. W.R. Stevens, who of 26 Springfield Avenue, won the Douglas Corporation Tenants Garden Competition.
So there's a picture of his lovely garden. It is a lovely garden.
It is,
isn't it?
Very nice
beautiful
garden.
Trellis work there.
Yeah, surprise me. You've got a keen eye for the trellis there, Katie. It's very nice. So what was the news stories that caught your eye this week, Sam?
Well, there was the invitation to Ford Men.
What?
That was an invitation that's been sent by Douglas Corporation to the Ford Dealers Fellowship, to hold their annual conference in Douglas for next May.
And I was talking about this with our editor, Richard Borton. We said it's great, isn't it? It's a story. It's just an absolute non-story. The corporation have essentially just invited these guys. It's not said they're coming or anything like that. It's just the invitation was set. But that made the front page that week.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you read the contents down the side there, you could possibly see why.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, it had such sections as John Quirk's Diary,
mm-hmm.
Round the South, the Youth Page, the West News, which actually covered three pages.
Yeah, big.
My favourite one's next.
Teenagers and Drink.
Yeah.
And the Feminine Forum.
Now, Teenagers and Drink, we've printed out, haven't we? Because that piqued our interest, because we didn't know whether it was going to be Teenagers on the Drink or it's Teenagers / Drink and a column about drink. So, would you like to reveal all?
Well, this really is a page that just keeps on giving, isn't it? There's three big things on it. There is the teenage opinion, dancing on licensed premises, ban would be unpopular,
mm-hmm.
which was the idea that they were going to ban under 18s, so the 15 to 18 sort of crowd, from going to dances.
Mm-hmm.
Would we essentially be turning into the town in Footloose?
Yes.
Is that what they were doing?
Yes. Basically. And what I actually found more interesting about this was that the Villa Marina didn't have a licence at the time. The Villa Marina, the only Douglas dance hall which is unlicensed is the Villa Marina.
Yeah.
Which didn't open during the winter.
It was very exciting.
So there was
But that wasn't the only great excitement on page 8 of the Isle of Man Daily Times and Women's Magazine of that week, was it?
Well, would you prefer oranges or feathers?
Oranges.
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 I think I'm going to copy and paste this if I can, because it's the greatest bit of prose that has been written in a long time.
Yeah.
Godfrey Wynne, I take my hat off you. You've written, how many words are you in that? It's 200 words on oranges? Yeah, at least 250 words on oranges?
Yeah.
It's a real emotional roller coaster. It talks about getting oranges at Christmas, how oranges are good for you, how oranges can help you in sport. It's just everything about oranges.
Do you know what? It's the very start of it, where it's the excitement of finding an orange in your Christmas stocking. early on Christmas morning.
Are you gonna quote him? I think that you should.
Do I have to do the voice as well?
Godfrey's voice.
While it was still dark, I would feel for it, and having found it, sniff the scent of its skin, caress its smooth surface, savouring the joys to come with daylight and the whole magical day ahead.
Yep. And then later, I was discovered that an orange could be a necessity too. Visiting an East London hospital to obtain some of the material for my book, The Fair Country, the doctor who looked after me was very anxious that I should see the children's clinic for postnatal care. "Look at them," exclaimed my guide proudly. "Not a case of rickets among them." Because eat their oranges.
I like it when he says, "No champagne, believe me, or any other drink for that matter, ever tastes quite so wonderful as that first orange of the day."
Now, if we can take anything from the first podcast of the decade, is we should eat more oranges.
Yeah. Vitamin C.
And now the final thing that caught us eye on page 8 this week was Manx feathered hats. Now, Jess, do you want to read the caption? Because it in itself is a bit a thing of beauty as well.
Okay, so it's at Ballaglony.
Yes, Ballaglony.
Farm in Jess. Santon. Mrs. Acorn and Fenella. Yep. Try on the feathered hats made by Mrs. Corrin for the National Poultry Show competition. The hat worn by Mrs. Corrin tied for first prize. And now, there are some lovely looking hats there.
Now you say lovely.
They
look a bit like
a jam roly-poly.
Yes. But obviously they're feathered, aren't they?
Melted onto their heads.
Yeah, so there's a lovely picture of that. But again, we'll get that up on our socials as well.
I mean, to be fair, we thought Fenella just didn't want to have her name in the
book. No.
Fenella.
Yeah. But it's a writing name.
Yeah, you know about Fenella, don't you?
Eunice
She's
Cubbin.
Quite popular back in the day.
Oh, yes.
She was a columnist forever. And this is an early early appearance. Now, Richard reckons she might have even edited this whole paper, didn't she?
I reckon she had them at one point, yeah.
So that was the Isle of Man Daily Times and Women's Magazine from Tuesday, January 10th, 1961. It certainly was a humdinger, Sam. Good job beating that next week.
I don't know how to beat that, to be honest. That actually might be my favourite paper that we've ever covered.
Right, Katie, new year, new me. We've had a tinker, haven't we?
We have. We're gonna learn some Manx traditions.
So Manx Word of the Week is taking a bit of a backward step at the moment, isn't it? And you're now going to broaden it up to a more cultural experience.
Well, I've got anyone who's listened to the Christmas episodes and things, we did a lot of traditional things that Manx people would do at Christmas, mm-hmm. like the Mollag Bands.
Home invasion and mugging. Yeah.
Yes, hunt the wren.
Yeah, which was, again...
Banishing a witch to become a small bird who could only come back one day, half a day a year, and must be hunted.
Yeah.
Mm. There was the one we didn't know about, the white horse.
Oh, yeah, that's weird.
Well, this is a thing as well, that for our first tradition of the year, I'm actually taking us back to the 6th of December.
I think, Kate, you need to reveal the name of this new segment.
Does it have a name?
Yeah. It says in the script, in big black writing...
Oh, does it?
Yes, a training.
Ah.
Katie obviously was involved in that workshop. but yes, so you're going to teach us something about Manx culture every
Yes.
week.
Yes, so this is something that we did miss out on in December.
I feel like this is what I've been needing my whole life.
Go on then.
Okay, so this is... It ties in with St. Catherine's Day, which is the 6th of December.
Mm-hmm.
And it's bizarre. It's what I was reading about it and watching videos on Culture Vannon's website. And it's basically a mock funeral for a hen.
What? Mock funeral for a hen.
Yeah, and it is actually, Culture Vannon's website described it as both humorous and deeply sinister. But it looks like it ties in with the Colby Fair that they used to have a few hundred years ago.
Okay.
And what you would do is you would have, there would be a hen, a dead hen. They would hold a mock funeral for it.
Right.
There was a funeral song which was sung, which was basically along the lines of, "Catherine's hen is dead, you take the head, I'll take the feet, we'll put her under the ground." Then they would bury
Sam, you right?
Looks, I think he's going to cry.
Cool,
Colby Footy Club do this.
Do they?
Stop
Colby
it.
Footy Club do this. I'm sure we've got pictures of this in the archive. I've seen this.
Yeah, they bury the head and the feet. The feathers are good luck. And then
do they wear it as a hat?
They take it to the Colby Inn and they cook it.
Oh. So
and they drink a lot, and because they've got their good luck feathers.
Why is it Catherine?
St. Catherine's Day.
Already mentioned that. I'm also noticing a trend with Manx traditions that alcohol seems to be involved.
Yes. Yeah. I believe this, because this was like at the traditional time of Colby Fair, because it was the St. Catherine's Day is like officially around the start of winter.
Yeah.
So it would be all the new like winter foods coming in and a celebration. So it was bizarre to have a mock funeral, but
that's,
I guess, then eating together and singing.
Very
and
interesting. So have you heard of, what's it called? What's the ceremony called?
I can't pronounce this word, Andy, which is why I've just been calling it St. Catherine's Day Dead Hen Celebration.
Give it to Jess as soon as she can
do it. Are you kidding me? Which is that?
It's got a paperclip over it, that's why we're struggling at the moment.
Lal? Yeah. It's spelled L and then
Lal
Mead. Something like,
Catrini.
Yeah, which is
Catrini, right? Okay.
So I guess Catherine's Day.
If you still practice this,
You think the football club do this?
I don't know if it's them specifically who do it, but I think it was done there because Colby had a fair this year, and John Madrill has told me about this. So
of course he has.
If
he probably chose the hen. It's your turn.
Probably supplies it.
It's the bird.
Very honoured.
The Bernard Matthews of the South.
Right, please do. I think that's about what an amazing. You've stumbled me for words. Is what an amazing way to finish our first podcast of 2020. Yeah.
So I know what we'll be doing on the 6th of December next year.
Forgetting about it.
Yeah. Right. If you want to get in touch, please do throughout the week at IOM News Podcast on the socials, Instagram and Twitter. We had a tweet from Michael Joseph, one of our listeners.
Yes.
He was listening to the Christmas specials during the Christmas period, wasn't he? After his Boxing Day or something like that.
Yeah.
Everyone's looking at me blankly. No one else seemed.
I didn't see it, but I can't remember what it was.
I think he said it was the perfect tonic for going after all the joviality of Christmas Day. It was going in a dark room and listen to our podcast, which is the highest compliment we've ever had. But please do get in touch. IOM News Podcast. If you want to have any of the stories this week, you can get them as a digital edition. IOMtoday.co.im. Third favourite tab, digital editions.
Yes.
And click on there.
Yeah.
And if you want to, as Katie said earlier, if you want to send us a postcard, which you're always greatly received, please do send them to IOM News Podcast, IOM Newspapers, European House, Peel Road, Douglas, IM15ED. Jess, what's coming up this week?
So I'm hoping to get a story about a guy who ran away with the circus and then fell in love with the Manx girl here. So it's part of Gandhi's circus.
Right, okay.
Is this like a fairy tale, or
has this actually
happened?
No, literally.
Where's he from?
I'll have to find that out. But he's not from here. No.
So okay. it could be his first St. Catherine's Day this year.
He lives in Peel, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
But more to be confirmed on that.
Katie, subscriptions are ahoy, is it?
Yep. I will go get my oranges and then carry on with my vouchers.
Sam?
Yeah, loads. TT News. I've got some exciting TT News to bring you in the examiner.
Oh, exciting. And you teased us there.
I had to.
Teased us. On that bombshell.
Bye for now.